This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 3, text 31.
Ye me matam idam nityam,
ye me matam idam nityam,
anutishtanti manavaha,
anutishtanti manavaha,
sathavanto nasuyanto,
sathavanto nasuyanto,
uchyante te bhikarma bhi,
uchyante te bhikarma bhi.
Yea,
those who
may
my
matam
injunctions
idam
these
nityam as an eternal function anutishtanti
execute regularly
manavaha
human beings
shraddhavantaha
with faith and devotion
anasuyantaha
without envy
uchyante
become free
te
all of them
api
even
karma bhi
from the bondage
of the law of fruitive actions.
Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. Could we turn off our mobiles, please? The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom, and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Maybe if they want to play, there's a place where they can play. Perfectly fine if children want to play. It's a good thing for children to do. So long, fellas. This whole no man's land can be filled up?
Yes.
Mataji, you're in an unlucky position there, behind the door. People are going to damage you if you sit there. Okay. And why don't the ladies swing around a little bit more this way? Because then, that way, as people come, should they come? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Everyone's comfortable? Good. Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shradhavanto nasuyanto muchyante tepi karma bhi. Lord Krishna wants to persuade Arjun to fight, and Arjun has argued that if I fight, then I'll be overcome by sinful reactions. Papa meva shreya dasman. Right? First chapter. At the time. Papami Bashreya Dasman Hatvaitan at the Tayanaha Tasman Narha Vayam Hantum Dhartarastran Subandana. So he's argued, sin will overcome us if we do this ghastly work of fighting. And Krishna says very clearly, sin will not overtake you. Rather, you'll be liberated from all the results of working in the material world. Why? Anutishtanti. Because you're following my direction. Mematam. My opinion. Everyone says, this is my opinion. If you ask my opinion, and my opinion really isn't worth all that much. I have my opinion, you have your opinion. One expert has his opinion, the other expert has his opinion. But Krishna's opinion is absolute. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority. When he says, my opinion, that opinion has special standing. That opinion is authoritative. That opinion is law. Just like the lawyer says, Your Honor, in my opinion, and the opposing lawyer says, Your Honor, in my opinion. And the judge says, well, in my opinion. And when the judge gives his opinion, that's law. So, dharma hi sakshat, bhagavat pranita. What Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, gives as his opinion is the final judgment. No one has a better opinion, Hare Krishna, than Krishna. Including the so-called commentators. They like to give their opinions. But so often, their opinion is in conflict with Krishna's opinion. And Krishna, number one, is the author, and number two is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, his opinion counts, and their opinion doesn't. I may have my opinion, you may have your opinion. I even may be a great philosopher, or a great scholar, or a great dharmic person. But that doesn't mean that my opinion counts more than Krishna's opinion. Krishna's opinion is accepted by all the great authorities. Sarvameta dritam manya. No, what is that? No. Give me a moment. Swayam chayava bravishine. Devala narda vyasa swayam chayava bravishine. Then what's that? Ahus tvam rishaya sarve devarshir naradas tata asito. Thank you. We have a room full of learned men. Krishna says, I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the great authorities, Ahus tvam rishaya sarve, all the rishis, they also accept you as the Supreme Authority. Later, after Arjuna, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami Acharya, Shankaracharya, they all accept Krishna as the Bhagavan, as the Supreme Authority. So, therefore, our business is to follow Krishna's opinion. Someone says, according to Hindu religion, or according to this or that, but when we say, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Personality of Godhead said, that's dharma. Dharman hi shakshat bhagavat pranita. So, mematam, Anutishtanti. Anutishtanti means regularly following. Situated in following the Lord's opinion. When we follow the direction of the Lord, there's no question of sin. There's no question of sin. If Krishna is the supreme authority on the subject, he is the controller of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is punishing the sinful human beings under the direction of Krishna. Everything is working under the direction of Krishna. So if if Krishna says to Yamaraj, this person is not punishable, then he's not punishable. In the Ajamil Charitra, the Yamadutas were going to arrest Ajamil, and not even the Lord himself, but his men, the Vishnudutas, came and said, you can't touch this man. He's sinless. Why? He's chanted the holy name of the Lord. So he's counted among the followers of Lord Narayan. You don't know what dharma is. You leave him alone. Even the messengers of Lord Vishnu, and what to speak of Lord Vishnu himself, have the authority to tell the Yamadutas where to get lost. Buzz off, as they say. They have the authority to tell them, you have no jurisdiction here. You have no authority. You don't know what you're doing. Leave them alone. Right, with great authority. And then they backed up their authority with good arguments. And finally, they have the Lord standing behind them. So, anutishtanti. One should follow the instructions of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manavaha, human beings. The Bhagavad Gita is not spoken for the cats and dogs. Cats and dogs, what good instruction will they take? There are no signs posted for the cats and dogs, how to behave, what's legal, what's moral. The traffic lights are not for the cats and dogs. These things are all for the human beings. Human beings are supposed to take good instruction. They're supposed to be mindful of what is legal, what is illegal, what is pious, what is sinful. This is all for human beings. Human beings have developed consciousness. They can discriminate. If they don't, they're animals. They say man is the rational animal. If he's not rational, he's just an animal. So the human being has to be able to discriminate, and he must. If he just follows his senses, whatever the senses tell him he does, he's an animal. He has to control the mind by the intelligence, higher intelligence. And actually that higher intelligence should be guided by the direction of the Lord. Manava, the human beings. This is the mission of human life. To understand who we are, why we're here, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, and finally how to achieve the mission of life. This is for human beings. And unfortunately, the so-called human beings waste their life mostly for the animal activities. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, working hard for these things only. Therefore, they're called dvipada pashu. Two-legged animals. Not exactly human beings, but just two-legged animals. So, ye me matam idam. This Bhagavad Gita is giving the Lord's direction. Nityam, and it's eternal. Nitya means that one should eternally follow this direction of the Lord. It's coming from the eternal personality of Godhead. It's directed toward the eternal living beings, and it gives them enlightenment as to their eternal function. So this is all nitya. Ye me mitam idam nityam. The Lord's opinion is not changing. Not that he's telling Arjuna that you worship me, and then some thousands of years later he comes and says, no, actually, if you worship Kali, that's better. Or that's his, or whatever you like to worship, yatamat tatapat. You want to worship me, worship me, worship Kali, you worship Durga, you worship Shiva, you worship this, you worship that, it's all the same. That means he's changed his opinion. Because in the Bhagavad Gita he says, Mam ekam sharanam bhaja. You just take shelter of me, exclusively, ekam. And we're supposed to believe that some later time he came and said, well, actually, it's just the opposite. No, nityam. Nityam means it's always like this. Not that Tuesday it's one thing, third. Scientists, they keep changing their opinions. We used to think, but now we know, they're changing. But Krishna's opinion hasn't changed. Not that Bhagavad Gita, 5,000 years later, we have to look at it and say, well, this part was okay, but this part, well, no, not really. But no. It's all eternally valid. Ye me matam idam nitya. Anutishtanti manava shradhavanto. It's meant to be followed shradhavan by a person who's shradhavan, a person who has confidence, faith in Krishna. It doesn't mean blind faith, but this is reasonable. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, it's there, about the Brahmin and the cobbler. You know the story. Everyone knows that story, Brahmin and cobbler. Some Brahmin, Narad Muni was traveling, he met some Brahmin. Brahmin said, oh, where are you going, Narad Muni? Going to see Narayan. Oh, will you ask him, when will I be liberated? Yes, why not? And Narad Muni, later he met some cobbler. Same question. Will you ask the Lord then when I'll be liberated? So Narad went to Vaikuntha and he met the Lord, and whatever the discussion was, but he said, one thing, I met one Brahmin and he wants to know when he'll be liberated. So the Lord said, yes, I know that Brahmin. After some thousands of births, he'll attain liberation. And then Narad Muni asked about the cobbler. Yes, in this life, he'll attain liberation. Finished. So Narad Muni was a little surprised that this Brahmin has to wait for thousands of births and the cobbler is going back to Godhead right away. So he asked the Lord about it. The Lord said, yes. Then when you meet them, when they ask you what I was doing, you tell him I was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle, this way and that way. So Narad Muni went back. He met the Brahmin. Did you see the Lord? Yes. Did you ask him when I'll be liberated? Yes. So? Yes, after thousands of births. But then he asked Narad Muni, so anyway, what, you were there, what was the Lord doing? Yes, he was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle, this way and that way. Brahmin said, Narad Muni, always telling stories. So then, hey guys, there's lots of rooms in this flat. Any one of them is as good as any other. Hare Krishna. Scram, kids. Yeah. Fill in. So then Narad met the cobbler. Yes, after in this lifetime you'll attain liberation. Naturally, the cobbler was, Narayan is so kind. So then he also asked what the Lord was doing, and he was also told, pulling a needle, elephant through the eye of a needle, this way, that way. So then the cobbler said, what? Find a room, put them in it, let them play, close the door. It's not a very difficult thing. Not that they have to play on right behind the door here. Just find a nice place and let them play for them. Otherwise, maybe they have an aunt in Sharjah or something. Go visit. Hare Krishna. So Narad met he told the cobbler what Narayan was doing. Narayan said, cobbler said, Narayan is so great. So Narad was surprised. You believe it? The Brahmin didn't believe it. He's a very learned person, and you believe it? Yes, why not? Come in. So then the cobbler gave evidence that, yes, what is the difficulty? I'm sitting under this banyan tree, and on the tree there are so many seeds, and in each seed there's a whole tree with so many seeds and so many trees. So if the Lord can pack so many trees and so many seeds into this one arrangement, then what is the difficulty pulling the elephant through the eye of a needle? Why should it be so hard for the Lord? It's everyday business. In this way, by spiritual intelligence, he understood the situation. It's not that anything is just people here, that Krishna had 16,108 wives. So immediately, oh, it must be mythology. Why mythology? Is it difficult if God wants to marry, just like these sultans and so on, they marry 8 or 10 or 20 wives. So if Krishna marries, if God marries 16,000 wives, why should it be difficult? If a little tiny sultan can marry 10 or 20, then why can't Krishna marry 16,000 or 16 million? There's nothing beyond his capability. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarasta. He's within every atom. He's between all the atoms. And all the atoms are within him at the same time. He has no limit. He has no limit. So and that unlimited personality of Godhead is speaking to Arjuna personally, do this, and you'll not be affected by sins. And a fortunate person will place faith in the Lord's word. Yes, Krishna said, I'll do it. At the end, Kodeshe Vachanam Dava. I'll do what you say. Why? Nashta Moha. Now I'm freed from illusion. Smritir Labdha. I've regained my proper consciousness. Tat prasada my ajuti. Tat prasada ajuta. By your mercy. You're infallible, ajuta. So I'm taking your direction. This is Shraddha. Simple. You don't have to be a great intellectual. You don't have to be a great scholar. You don't have to be this, that. Just, well, Krishna said, I'll do it. That's all. The Shraddha. Shraddha. Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam. Same yukta tamo mata. Such a person becomes the greatest yogi. How? Because he's following Yogeshwara. Krishna's Yogeshwara, the master of all yoga. So if one follows the direction of Yogeshwara, then he becomes the best yogi. Fill in here, it doesn't matter, carpet, no carpet. Hare Krishna. Anasuyanta. Prabhupada explains that anasuya means he's not resentful. He doesn't resent Krishna's direction. He doesn't try and squirm out of it, doesn't try to show that it's wrong, or that it doesn't apply to him, or that it's unfair, or that it used to be valid, but now it's no longer valid. He doesn't resent or try to dismiss it or diminish it. He accepts. Even Prabhupada makes the claim, even if he can't follow. When we can't follow an instruction, we disparage the instruction. There's a saying, the dancer blames the hill for being crooked. You know, someone is supposed to dance, but if he doesn't dance nicely, he says, oh, the ground was crooked, or the stage was crooked, or... So if we can't follow the instruction, there must be something wrong with the instruction. That's the attitude we take. If we can't follow what Krishna said, then it must not be what Krishna meant, or it's Krishna never really said it, they just added it to, you know, over time, they added these things to the book, or, you know, Krishna knows, da 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 da. One way or another to try to get out of it, or worse, that, you know, if God could say something like this, then I don't believe in God. If God could say something so immoral, if God could... Even the big Mahatmas take that position, so-called Mahatmas, that if God could actually advocate such violence, then I don't accept such a God. But a simple, faithful person will accept, yes. Ahustvam Rishiya Sarve. All of the sages have said this. So sarvameta advitam manye. I accept what you say. Sarvam. Not the part that I like. Not the half-hen philosophy. You know, we like the part that lays the eggs, but not the part that we have to feed. But the sarvam, whatever you've said, I accept. You said it, I accept it. This is anasuyanta. No resentment, no envy. Yes, whatever Krishna says, that's all right. And I may not be able to follow it, but I know it's right. So often we find that. We find in dealing with aspiring candidates for spiritual life, there are two attitudes. One attitude is the person is not following, and he tries to make excuses in so many ways that it's unreasonable to... You don't really expect... I mean, you know, it's understandable that I'm not following this. I mean, this is, you know, it's so strict, or it's not practical, or it's this or that. Minimize the instruction. Minimizing the instruction means minimizing the person who gave the instruction. Means minimizing the person who gave the instruction. If I give you an instruction and you start to say, well, that means you... What is your regard for me then? So that's called insubordination. In the army, if an officer gives an instruction, I have to follow the instruction. And if I start saying, well, this is not a very good instruction or very important, that means insubordination. I'm defying the authority of my commanding officer. That's not accepted. And then on the other side, there's the person who tries to carry out the order. He may or may not succeed. He may sometimes fail. But he at least accepts. He's far ahead. He at least knows this is the order. Let me try for it. He may sometimes succeed. He may sometimes fail. But because he's sincerely trying to follow the order, because he accepts the order, he's appreciated. Yes, he's not resentful, he's working sincerely. And Prabhupada said, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. Not that, forget it, I give up. He tries. Let me do it. That's described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Nishchaya, utsaha, means a devotee is enthusiastic. Yeah, there's all this space over on that side. It's not that it's premium real estate by the door here. You can shift over a little bit. There you go. Men are okay for now, just the... There you are. The utsaha means enthusiasm. These are the principles for success in spiritual life. The first is enthusiasm. Just that with enthusiasm, you can get so much done. If we have some task and we're enthusiastic, just on that enthusiasm alone, we can make so much progress. A salesman... You know, if you have a salesman who's enthusiastic, you know, the sale is half made already just because he's enthusiastic. Because the enthusiasm will be catching. Or because he'll be very, you know, he'll just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. He'll not say, well, all right, forget it. Customer says, no, I don't think I want any. It's not that he'll say, oh, okay, so long. He'll be full of enthusiasm. But, you know, it's really good. I really think you'll like it. Tell you what, let me leave it in your house for a couple of days, and, you know, if you don't like it, I'll take it back. And, you know, your neighbor has one, and, you know, it's just a great thing. You have to have it. because he's so enthusiastic, he'll be successful. Maybe not 100% of the time, but he has a great asset for being successful. Just his enthusiasm. You can accomplish so much. And if you start off with, well, you know, I might not, you know, who would want one of these things? You know, everybody's already got one, or maybe they've already decided, either they have it or they decided they don't need it. What's the point of even asking? You know, he's already defeated himself before he got started. So utsaha, that enthusiasm, is so valuable. Utsaha. It's like a child. A child is enthusiastic about studying or about sports or about something. Just because he's enthusiastic, he'll make some progress. And nischaya. Nischaya means to have some confidence in the goal and in the process. Nischaya, that because I'm following this process, I'll get there. Again, he's not hopeless because he knows that I'm on the right path, I just have to continue. Nischaya. He has that certainty that yes, this is the right method. I may not be able to follow it perfectly. I may not have gotten such great results so far, but it is the right method. Let me just stick to it. Just like a patient, he's been given some medicine and he has faith that yes, this is the right medicine. It's prescribed. This doctor is, I have confidence in this doctor. So if he's prescribed it, I'm going to take it. I'm sure it'll be good. Otherwise, if from the very beginning, pills, you know, they probably don't do anything, they never do anything. There's no treatment, the outcome is bleak. Prognosis is bleak because he doesn't even have the faith, the confidence to follow the prescription. So nischaya, one should be very certain, this is the process, I should follow this process. And dharya, one should be determined. Determined means there may be some setbacks, there may be some difficulties, there may sometimes even be failure, but I'm going to stick with it. Why? I'm enthusiastic, I have confidence in the process. So, and it's very valuable, the goal is worth it. But dharya, perseverant and determined. And tat-tat karma pravartana. Tat-tat karma pravartana means doing all the things that we're supposed to do. Anukul yasya sankalpa, whatever is favorable. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined for us so many practices of devotional service that will help us. Or the spiritual master prescribes for us the different things that we should do to make progress. So it's not just a mental attitude. Utsaha, nischaya, dharya, these are more or less a question of mentality. We should be enthusiastic, we should be faithful, we should be determined, we should be sincere. But finally, we should do something. We should do something. Not just, it's all in the attitude. Attitude should be there, it should be the right mentality, the right feeling. But finally, I got to act. It's not enough to have a positive attitude toward my homework. I have to do my homework. Right? I have to do it. So, tat tat karma pravartana. There are things that are prescribed for us. Do this and do this and do this and do this. So we should actually do them. We may even not feel like doing them. But still, if we do them, we'll start to see the result. We'll start to see the result. In the beginning, that's called vaidhi. In the beginning, devotional service is largely a matter of following directions. and maybe even feel following directions that we don't really feel like following. Get up early in the morning. We may not feel like getting up early in the morning. We'd like to sleep in. But because the spiritual master has directed us, get up early in the morning, so we get up early in the morning. We perform the Mangalarti, or we attend the Mangalarti. We do things. Why? Because Shastra has said, or because the spiritual master has said. So I'm supposed to. But because I'm doing these things, even out of obligation, because I'm supposed to, gradually they have their effect and they become relishable. We look forward to getting up early in the morning. We look forward to attending the Mangalarti. We look forward to doing the various devotional activities because we start to have some realization about them. They start becoming very... devotional service is actually susukham kartam. It's performed with great happiness. So in the beginning, it may seem like a little trouble, or a lot of trouble. But because I'm undergoing that trouble, I'll start to feel, oh, this is very good, actually. So there are things to... tat-tat karma pravartana, things to do, also things not to do. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. Various rules to be... followed positively and negatively. That's tat-tat karma pravartana. And sangha tyaga, giving up bad association. Sangha tyaga. Not to mix intimately with those who are averse to the devotional service of the Lord or attached to sense gratification. Asat shanga tyag e vaishnava char. Stri shangi eka sadhu krishna bhakta. Two kinds of bad association. Those who are too attached to women for sense gratification, and those who are not interested in devotional service. Their association should be avoided. Avoided means that we naturally will associate with so many people, but we won't form any intimate relationship. We may see people in the street or in our workplace or in the store, and we're cordial, we're polite, but we're not going to form intimate relationships with them. We'll save those intimate exchanges for the society of devotees. Sangha tyagat and satovrite, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, the great souls. Shadbir bhaktir prasidyati. These things will help us. So shadhavanto anasuyanto, the right candidate follows faithfully the instructions of the Lord, even if imperfectly. He does his best, and practice makes perfect. He gradually becomes very accomplished in devotional service. And mucyante te pi karmabhi. Mucyante means he's delivered from material existence. Mucyante, by following the instructions of the Lord, he's freed from all material reactions. He's not acting on his own authority or his own behalf. He's acting for the Lord. If I work on my own authority or on my own behalf, then I have to take the reaction. But if I'm working on Krishna's behalf, then there's no reaction. Just like if you work for some big company, suppose you become a board member in some big company. So very typically the agreement is there that because you're working as a board member, if there's any legal action against you for anything that you've done in your capacity as a board member, the corporation will take the responsibility, will hire the lawyers, will defend you in court, will do everything, because it's not your business, it's the company's business. You haven't acted independently, you haven't acted for your own interest, you're doing this for the company under the direction of the the head of the company. You're doing it, So we'll defend you against any legal action. That's standard agreement. So similarly, if we're acting under the direction of the supreme authority and we're acting for his interests rather than our own, then he indemnifies us against any legal action by Yamaraj or any other such person. No, this person was working for me. Hands off. This is the situation. So in this way, and then in the next verse we'll find just the opposite. Ye tvetad abhyasuyanto nanutishtanti me matam sarvagana vimudham stan vidhi nashtan chetasaha. And a person who doesn't follow, just the opposite. Abhyasuyanto, he is envious, he is resentful. Na anutishtanti, he doesn't follow, my opinion. Sarvagana vimudham stan, all of his knowledge is finished. And vidhi nashtana chetasaha. All of his endeavors for perfection are ruined. He's finished. So we should follow Krishna's direction without resentment, faithfully, regularly, and then Krishna will do the needful and our life will be successful. Hare Krishna. Any questions? That's our misfortune. If we don't have faith in the Lord, in spite of everything, that's our misfortune. Therefore, we should associate with devotees who do have faith in the Lord and follow the process, and our faith will grow. These are, if you look at it, this is all our disease. This is why we're in the material world. It's why we're suffering. Because we are resentful of the Lord, because we don't have faith in His instructions, because we don't want to follow. That's why we're kicking around in the material world since time immemorial. So that's our diseased condition. And we have to take the treatment. And it's understood that it's not that, boom, I'm taking the treatment, so my problems are all immediately finished. But because I've entered treatment, if I stick with the treatment, then the result will be there. Therefore, it's called a gradual cleansing process. It's been made easy. We simply have to chant Hare Krishna. And practically, it's been made so evident also. We chant Hare Krishna and we see the result. It's not something that has to wait 100 years. But right away, you begin chanting, and you start seeing the results. And you can see also those who've seriously taken the chanting, they're chanting regularly, they're chanting, you know, 16 rounds a day. We see all how it's changed their life. So then we may say, well, there's the evidence. It works. Tarasakshi Jagai Madhai. What is the evidence for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's womanhood? Jagai and Madhai, big Kundas, dacoits, lowlifes, they were completely changed by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada used to say that there were those days there was only one set of Jagai and Madhai, now there's so many Jagai and Madhai. Practically the whole Western world is, you know, Jagai and Madhai standard. And by chanting Hare Krishna, they also become devotees. The Americans, the Africans, the Chinese, so many. Therefore, the process is demonstrably effective. And when we take it up in our own life, then right away, practically, very quickly, we start to see the results. Mind becomes purified. We start becoming detached from so many complex things. At what stage should we totally dedicate our life? At every stage. It's just unfortunate that we won't. We actually dedicate our lives totally in the advanced stage. But if we do it now, then we've attained the advanced stage. How do you become advanced? By being advanced. So if we surrender now, or we dedicate ourselves now, then we become advanced now. Otherwise, put it off. Put it off and you know, Krishna will help us. There's some story about some miserly man. He was praying to God that he could win the lottery. Have you heard this story? And he's praying to God, "Oh God, please let me win the lottery. Oh God," every day he's going, "Please God, please let me have the winning number. Oh please, 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 oh God." And finally, you know, he's praying so sincerely that God answered him and said, "Yes, I'm trying to help you, but if you'd buy a ticket." So a little effort from our side. Prabhupada said that if you take one step toward Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps toward you. So a little something from our side, and we'll see the result.
Maharaj, is it possible for faith to develop in Krishna if no one tells you who Krishna is? Is that possible?
Is it possible to develop faith in Krishna if no one tells you who Krishna is? Yes. Even without being told, you may see, oh, Krishna is so nice, Krishna is so attractive. He's naturally attractive. So if you're fortunate, without hearing, without anything, you may just be attracted. That means previous good fortune. Someone's attracted by hearing, by, you know, he reads the books, he understands the philosophy, he's convinced. So he says, "All right, Krishna's God, I'm going to serve him." And someone else doesn't read the books, doesn't just, "Oh, Krishna's so nice. He's such a nice, so beautiful, how he's playing with the cows, how he's so affectionate toward all the Vrajbasis, how he's dancing and playing his flute. Oh, he's so nice." Without any philosophy. That's also good. Somehow or other, if someone is attracted to Krishna, even it mentioned, out of fear, out of envy, out of hatred, somehow or other, if one thinks of Krishna, he's fortunate. And Shishupal was envious. He was always criticizing Krishna, blaspheming Krishna. Somehow or other, because he came in touch with Krishna, he was liberated. Krishna gave him liberation. The Bhakti Putana witch. And she, again, she approached Krishna, and even though her purpose was nefarious, because she approached Krishna, Krishna gave her his mercy. "Yo, she's like my mother." So, to be Kamsa, whose relationship with Krishna was fear, When will Vishnu come? When will Vishnu come? When will Vishnu come? But somehow or other, they were very fortunate. The center is Vishnu. The center is Krishna. So if even such demons attain good fortune by being negatively, thinking of Krishna negatively, then what to speak of the devotees like Yashoda Mayi and so many others? So somehow or other, if we become attracted to Krishna, we're fortunate. Is that all right? Something else?
Maharaj, you talked about give an example about the Brahma and the Kabbalah. Krishna's example. Every beautiful pastime is related to Krishna. There is something to be understood, to be learned. Like. So what exactly is this example? What we have to learn from it? Like the Brahma is...
Who can say? What should we learn from it?
Full faith in Krishna.
Full faith in Krishna. And what kind of faith?
Unflinching.
Yeah, unflinching. And? Reasonable also. It was reasonable. And he had faith, but it wasn't just, oh yeah, Krishna's great. But he had, you know, the wheels were turning. He understood.
Not logically, you have to understand.
No, he did understand by logic. He had simple faith, but he also, you know, could put two and two together. He could put two and two together. He could understand that how Krishna is great. If Krishna can do this and this and this, then why can't Krishna do that? It's, you know, he was sensible. It wasn't just kind of blind, fanatical or sentimental faith. But he had good reasons. That was the special reason I chose this story. He had, it was, there was, his faith was justifiable. Now, even if a person has faith in Krishna without any philosophy, without any logic, that's okay, good, he got to the right result anyway. But it's not that we have to toss common sense or reason out the window. It just needs to be connected with Krishna. The problem with the so-called rationalists, the materialists, is that they're just putting two and two together, but they started with, you know, some snag in the equation. Their wires are crossed or something. Because they're detaching it all from Krishna. Actually, the problem is in the next verse. Abhyasuyanto. That they're envious of Krishna. Why should Krishna be God? Or they don't want there to be any God, because while the cat's away, the mice will play. They're mice, they want to play. So they want to hear that there's no cat. So then they'll logically, in so many ways, try to get rid of the cat. If only in their minds. The cat is there. Yes?
Having the knowledge about Vedas.
About what?
Knowledge about the literature and everything.
About what? What?
Literature about the Lord.
Literature.
We are attached to Lord Krishna without any reason. But when we are coming to this class, slowly, and when the controversy is coming, we are getting irritated. What is behind it?
We're getting interested.
When the controversy is coming,
yeah,
we are getting irritated immediately. What is behind that?
Getting what?
Is it controversy?
Yeah, I got. You're all telling me the words that I caught. What was the word I didn't?
Irritated.
We're getting irritated with the. Why are we irritated?
But before it was not there. When we are newcomer.
Yeah.
We just follow the thing regularly.
Yeah.
And we are very, very, very much attached to Krishna.
Yeah.
But now the knowledge is going high. But when the controversy is coming, we are immediately getting irritated. What is behind it?
When the controversy is coming, what kind of controversy? What do you mean when controversy is coming, we're irritated? What do you mean by that?
The different knowledge coming in, it will be coincide and getting collated.
Getting what?
Getting collation.
Collation?
You can give an example.
Yeah. Confusion. Getting confusion and they are getting immediately taken. So somebody is telling about this one, this is right, and somebody is saying this is not right.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's. It's good to be a little irritated with that. You know, a devotee is not simply a. You know, it's not that we join Krishna consciousness because it's. Oh, Jesus. Can you all please turn off your mobiles? People come late, we have to announce that again. This is just standard, by the way. If you attend any gathering, it's good manners to turn your mobile off. This is the blessing of modern society, that we all get to have these little machines that disturb whatever is going on. Lucky us. Okay. So we haven't joined the Krishna consciousness movement because we think that it's a wonderful debating society. But here's an opportunity to find something to argue about. There's another story that Prabhupada told, that there were two men, and they were walking and they were discussing how to cut something. And one man was saying with a knife, and the other man was saying with the scissors. And they were arguing, you know, knife, no, scissors, no, knife, no, scissors, no, knife, scissors, knife, scissors. And they finally were walking past the ocean. Knife, scissors. And somehow the scissors person, you know, fell into the ocean, or maybe the other guy pushed him, or somehow. Anyway, wound up in the ocean. And actually he was drowning, but as he was going under for the last time, he had his hand above the waves. Scissors. So this is the material world. There's a tendency to be argumentative. We like to argue. It's actually a especially in this age. This is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. So if we don't get an opportunity to quarrel, we feel like we're wasting our life. And if we're not careful in our practice, then we start to take pleasure in quarreling with the other devotees. And quite often, and if there's nothing to quarrel about, we find something to quarrel about. Krishna is so kind, there's always something we can quarrel about. You know, whether to do it this way or that way, or, you know, you did this. No, I didn't. No, yes, you did. No, you did. The internet is full of this rubbish. People, you know, with no better engagement than to quarrel. Or to take pleasure in reading, you know, watching others quarrel. You know, I send some quarrelsome note, you send some quarrelsome note, and everybody's, yeah. Really grooving on the controversy, really taking pleasure, relishing, either being a participant or being an onlooker in controversy. And especially controversy which doesn't need to be controversy over that which is uncontroversial. So to be irritated with that is actually good. To think that these people are wasting their time. Or they're wasting one another's time, maybe they're wasting my time also. To be irritated with this kind of foolishness is a sign of spiritual advancement. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, spoken by one of the Kumaras. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the influence of whose illusory energy the various philosophers are arguing with one another, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, and losing sight of their selves, of who they are, what their purpose in life is. So this is Maya. Maya says, why should you be simply engaging in the service of Krishna? Shouldn't you be, you know, in an argument here? So we'll find some useless thing, and blow it up. It's very important. Something of no consequence. No, it's very important. We blow it up into something that's not important. And this is Maya's arrangement, that the devotees can quarrel among themselves, and that way they won't make any spiritual advancement, and they'll be too busy fighting among one another to spread anything for the spiritual advancement of others. This is Maya's arrangement. That could be anything. It can be over management. It can be over, you know, who's going to lead the kirtan. It can be over, you know, how much salt you put in the pakora batter. It can be anything. And it's typically childish, you know. You stole my dolly. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Yeah, but Maya makes grown men and women think that, you know, that what they're arguing is really not like that. It's something really that matters, and this and that. And now sometimes it does matter. That's a different thing. So often it really doesn't matter. And even if it does matter, all right, it matters, but not that we have to fight over it. You know, I have a different opinion. I'm convinced my opinion is right. I'm going to stick to my opinion and carry on. Not that I have to waste my time arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing. And for what? So to be a little bit irritated over this arguing propensity or controversy, you know, love controversy, is good.
Maharaj, I'm not being critical of anybody. I really am not, okay?
Yes, you are.
I might be a bit slightly, okay? But I think it's for a good reason. Mm-hmm. I hope so, anyway. I think a lot of those things happen, like even in the temples they would happen. Like I came to Krishna consciousness because of the devotees working in the temple. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm very thankful to them. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a problem. People do not talk enough about Krishna. How are you going to love Krishna?
Well, sure, that's the problem.
Nobody's telling you about Krishna.
Sure, that's the problem. We're busy arguing about how much salt to put in the pakora batter, so we don't have time to talk about Krishna. Yeah. Exactly. Therefore, amani na manadena kirtani sadhavi. One should be humble, like the grass, not looking for prestige or, you know, winning arguments, or just to be humble and kirtaniya sadhari, just to chant Hare Krishna. And there's a story that some philosopher was, you know, now we have sports and they go around winning trophies and beating, you know, India beats Pakistan or vice versa, and they, who won, by the way? There was a big match the other day, I heard. I don't know who won. Anyway, I thought you guys would know. But the... now I lost my train of thought with that. Just see.
Story of a philosopher.
Yeah. So, there was a philosopher who was going around. Now we have these matches and people get big reputations and they... all of that. But it used to be more for scholarship. Just like the Digvijay, Keshav Kashmiri, he was like a conquering pundit. He would go around and challenge all the pundits, and then he'd get their signature that I've been defeated by the Keshav Kashmiri, and they, you know, he'd kind of go around, something like chess, I guess, where they, you know, it's all brains, and they go around winning chess matches. But on scholarship, they would... So one such scholar came to Vrindavan, and he was challenging this one and that one, and he came and challenged Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami said, just give me your paper, sign the paper, alright, you know, you know, why am I going to waste time arguing with you? Here's your signature, let me go on with my bhajan. That was his move. Then later that scholar met Jiva Goswami. Oh, I've defeated your uncle. Now, what about you? So then Jiva Goswami argued with him and beat the pants off him, and you know, took back the paper signed by Sanatan Goswami. Why? Sanatan Goswami was his guru, so just to defend the honor of Sanatan Goswami, he beat that pundit like anything. And some fools criticized Jiva Goswami. He wasn't humble. He argued with it, but it was for the honor of Sanatan Goswami. But anyway, the idea is, you're right. We should be busy glorifying Krishna, and you know, not worry about so many useless controversies. There are people who are wasting their whole lives engaging in or tracking different controversies for nothing, really nothing, and forgetting about Krishna. Therefore, Sanatana Kumar said that they're sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing, and arguing among themselves and forgetting the real purpose of life.
How can we do that practically?
Like chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, in the temple it's different. Just say us in our programs. How can we do that? Whether Prabhupada or Your Divine Grace, how can we do that?
Sanatana Goswami says, you take the holy name, and on the thread of the holy name, you make a necklace with this verse, Trinadapi Shuni Chena Trinadapi Sahi Shuni. That means, not physical, you don't go out to Loy Bazaar and buy a necklace, but it means that our mentality should be like that, that we should chant Hare Krishna and cultivate that humble mood. We have a propensity to argue. Prabhupada said of these four things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these four propensities, which one is the strongest? Defending. Yeah, what's the government spending half its money on? Defense. You know, we're all busy with defending. We're defending, you know, we have our the police and the security systems and insurance, you know, policies and this and that. Well, it's all about defense. And similarly, we get together and argue. You know, I defend my point of view, you defend your point of view, I attack you, you attack me, I defend it. Da, da, da. So this fighting propensity is very strong. But we're meant to bring down the fever of these four animal propensities. We have to eat, but our eating should be, you know, moderate and in the mode of goodness. We have to sleep. Similarly, we may have to defend ourselves also, but that should be, cool it down. Not that we have to get sparked off as soon as somebody looks at us cross-eyed. It's not so important. Eating is not the goal of life. It's not the central occupation. Similarly sleeping, similarly sex, similarly fighting. We should go let these things fall to the wayside while we're engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's exactly what you said. The more we chant Hare Krishna. You know, if we're Jirtaniya Sadahari, if we're always chanting Hare Krishna, where's the time for getting into these arguments? Just like that prostitute approached Haridas Thakur for, you know, sense enjoyment. He was busy. He was chanting Hare Krishna and he was absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. Well, let me finish my chanting, then we'll enjoy. So the same thing. Let me finish my chanting, then we'll argue. Huh? Now I'm chanting, later we can argue. And then of course you never finish chanting.
Initially, when somebody joins the movement, he starts to follow the regulations and the devotional process. But what is observed, sometimes many people, they are there in the movement for a year or two, but later on they get releasement is not there. They are not releasing those things. Some reason, I don't know, could be the bad education or something else. Then they leave the movement. But these people come and then go. How we can make it effective so that once somebody is in, then he continues to be a movement.
Of course you can't, there's always a revolving door, you can't stop people from leaving. That's, there's always free will and there's always somebody who's going to leave that you can't stop. But we have to train and instruct people in such a way and give them such a taste also that they won't want to leave. One thing is by these sympathetic dealings. You know, if they come to the Society of Devotees and the devotees are always busy arguing over this and arguing over that and fighting over this and crabbing about that, it's all, you know, like another version of politics, and you know, then person will he's you know, what will he get? That kind of taste, and he may get implicated in all of that and so on. And that just sucks away the Krishna consciousness. So then it becomes no different from being in the material world, practically speaking. It doesn't matter if he's here or there, because he's going to do the same thing anyway. So plus it becomes very unpleasant. You know, why do I want to be here? They're always arguing, bickering. But if the dealings among the devotees are very affectionate, very loving, if there's a spirit of genuine humility and tolerance and all right, you know, whatever, then it becomes very pleasing. And that kind of company, that kind of association, devotional service and Krishna Katha becomes very relishable. So then when he's relishing, naturally he doesn't want to go anyplace else. So that's very important. And also we need to be careful that we're avoiding offenses. Again, why do we leave? Why don't we have a taste for chanting? Because we commit 10 offenses. What's the first offense? To blaspheme the devotees. Vaishnava Pranat is the first offense. So we really need to be careful about that, not to how to respect the devotees. They're the most respectable people. They've given their life for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone who's even chanted Hare Krishna once, he's the best among the human beings. Even a person who's chanted once, and then what to speak of a person who's regularly chanting, a person who's initiated, a person who's dedicated. That's explained also in this Upadeshamrita. Same thing.
We insist to follow these rules so much that people are not so mature enough they can follow it very
well. It requires a little balance.
Yeah.
If you don't tell what the rules are, then you're doing them a disservice. We need to tell people, you've got a problem here. You need to do something about this. A doctor doesn't hesitate to tell the patient that, you know, you can't eat this, or you can't go on smoking this way. You're going to kill yourself. It's not that because, you know, he's afraid the patient isn't going to like the message, he can't deliver it. Or, you know, maybe he'll have fewer patients. He'll get, you know, if you're the doctor who says, sure, you know, you want to smoke, fine. I'm the doctor for people who, you know, who do, you know, whatever they want. You know, you just take the medicine, everything will be okay. No, he has to lay it on the line. You can't go on smoking like this. You know, I'm giving you medicine, but if you go on with these habits, I don't know if I can help you. So the rules and regulations matter. It's not for nothing that Prabhupada was again and again and again telling what the rules and regulations are, and admonishing us to follow. But to balance that, it's not simply don't do this, don't do that. We have faith in the process of chanting. We encourage people to come chant Hare Krishna. Whether you're doing this or you're doing that, you come and chant. So, but we can't hide the process. In the interests of palatability, you know, just make it something that no one will have a problem with, no one everyone will just simply agree to. No. It's the, you know, it's serious. And if we lose some people because, you know, they didn't want to be serious, or they didn't want to take up something serious, what can we do? We're not a cheap outfit. You know, it requires something in the way of commitment. And then on the side, on our side, patience. That, all right, this is, he's a beginner. So if in the beginning he does this or this or this, to be expected. Something else?
I think anyone and everyone will commit if somebody is able to tell them how wonderful Krishna is. I've heard Prabhupada once said, it's our fault if we can't get people to accept Krishna. We just don't know how to do it.
Well, I don't know about the quotation, and it's good to think that it's our fault. On the other hand, it's not just that if the message is presented nicely, everyone will take it. Prabhupada gave so many lectures, so many people attended, and so many people went nowhere with it. You know, they immediately rejected it, or they said, yes, yes, that was nice. But it's not that simply if the speaker is qualified, the audience will all line up. There are two things needed, the qualified speaker and the qualified hearer. So the hearer has to be receptive also. The speaker should be potent, should be pure, and the hearer should be submissive. Then by that combination, you'll get the result. If either one of those sides is lacking, you can't expect much. Both have to be, just like if a man is potent and the woman is fertile, then when they get together, there'll be conception. There'll be pregnancy. Otherwise, the man may be potent, but if the woman is sterile, you can't expect any result. Or if the woman is fertile and the man is impotent, you can't expect any result. But if the woman is fertile, the man is potent, then they'll have a child. So a qualified speaker and a qualified hearer both have to be there.
Isn't Krishna all attractive to everyone?
He's all attractive by nature. But we're in a diseased condition, just like sweet rice is attractive. But when you have jaundice, you can't, you know, you don't want it. Why? Because although it's very attractive, we're in a diseased condition. And so we don't appreciate its naturally attractive qualities. A person who has jaundice finds sweet things to be bitter. It's sweet, but because he's diseased, for him it's bitter. Krishna is all attractive, but for the person in a diseased condition, he's not attractive. Why should I be attracted to Krishna? I'm attracted to my girlfriend, not to Krishna. My girlfriend is real. Krishna's just a myth. Because he's in a disease condition. So he's attracted, you know, to some blood and flesh and bones and hair that he's thinking is his girlfriend. And he's not attracted to Krishna, who's the eternal form of bliss and knowledge. But why? Because he's in a disease condition. It's like these people, you know, if you offer the drunkard nice prasadam, no, he wants liquor. Right? So then you have to find ways and means. When we'd have some leftover prasadam from the Sunday feast in New York in the early days, the temple was in a district not very far from where all the drunkards used to live, and they'd have these shelters and places they'd be living. So the leftover prasadam on Monday, we would go to those places, and we'd give them what was left of the prasadam, and we'd tell them, you know, something is like, there's some cake or something, you say, oh, it's rum cake. It's cake made with rum, with liquor. Rum cake. So they'd all be enthusiastic. Oh, rum cake. Huh? Actually, it's Krishna prasadam, but they were enthusiastic that, oh, it's rum cake. It helped if the prasadam was a little old also, then it might be a little in the right direction for them. Something else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.